With Amex Gold, you can experience the gold standard. You get access to exceptional dining, plus 4x membership rewards points on eligible dining purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Cap applies. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
With my man Chad Brown in for Harry Douglas, I'm Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us on the best show on your radio. Freddie and Harry presented by Progressive Insurance on the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. Always tell that smart speaker of yours to play ESPN Radio. The two teams facing each other this weekend that we're going to find a lot out about one way or the other with Week 5 of the NFL kicking off tonight. We'll do that in about 10 minutes. And speaking of Week 5 kicking off tonight, that involves Harry Douglas's Atlanta Falcons. I guarantee you the bird call is going to be there one way or the other. If they win or lose versus Tampa Bay tonight, 8:20 Eastern time on Amazon Prime, Harry Douglas, like we mentioned, the normal co-host of Freddie and Harry at HDouglas83. Hit him on Twitter. You hear Devin King, one of our producers in the background, giving Harry Douglas the business along with Shannon Penn. So, Harry, they're giving it to you. Come on now. Your Atlanta Falcons. What's going on tonight versus Tampa Bay, brother? What's going on?
Well, first, Freddie, let me correct you. They are not giving it to me. No, no, no. Not on this lovely Thursday.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Well done.
All right, well, I will say this, man. I think this is a monstrous game across the NFL, especially when you look at the NFC South and where the two teams are. And for Tampa Bay, they have an opportunity to extend where they are in the division, and they're playing some really good football right now. But for Atlanta, you have an opportunity to, you know, take over first place in the NFC South and have two division wins. And we all know, man, Chad, you know this, at the beginning of the year, when a coach stands up in that team meeting room, the first thing he talks about when it comes to the season and quarters, like, hey, we want to win our division. Because if we win our division, most likely at the end of the year, we're going to be sitting in the place where we want to be. And when you look at both teams, I just think it's a monstrous game for both organizations as far as where they want to be from a division standpoint.
One of the things that Harry Douglas will understand, and Chad Brown, you notice as well, when you have division games, especially heated division games, where one team believed in coming into the season, they were going to run that division. And the team known as Tampa Bay said, wait a minute, we've won this division the last 2 years, y'all not running nothing. In my opinion, Chad, the Falcons better win this game tonight. Are those whispers only going to get louder about too much too soon, and they were not ready to be a primetime player, especially in the division that Tampa Bay has run the last couple of years?
Yeah, if you want to be the champ, you got to find a way to beat the champ. So it's all about that tonight for the Falcons. And, yes, I think there are some folks who looked at the Falcons in this preseason and early season and said, oh, they're the team that can be the one that emerges from not so great last year or not so great last couple of seasons. But you've got to prove it against your division foes. And Harry was exactly 100% correct. I have yet to be in a early week one, very end of training camp kind of meeting with the head coach who did not talk about the importance of winning your division. So the Falcons have got to find a way to get this done. Otherwise, that narrative will be what you just talked about, Freddie.
Yeah, no doubt about them.
It's too early. They're not there yet. They're knocking on the door, but they're not ready to kick the door in. And Tampa Bay is the class of this division, so they have a chance to change that narrative tonight.
And especially when they're 0-2 at home so far in this season. So, Harry, we bring you back. Which Falcons team, which of your Falcons teams are going to show up? The one that looked pretty good winning two games or the one that looked bad losing two games?
I'm going to go with the one that has won two games. But I will say this, going against Tampa tonight, I think it's imperative for their defense to make life uncomfortable for Baker Mayfield in the pocket. When you look at Tampa Bay and their three wins right now, Baker has been extremely comfortable in the pocket, delivering the football, getting it out of his hands quickly. And I think for the Falcons and their defensive line, if you cannot get home, then you got to get your hands up to try to disrupt what's going on offensively for Tampa. I think another thing that's key in this matchup is when you have two receivers and Mike Evans, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, I call him Mr. Consistency because that's all he's been since coming into the NFL, and Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin does a great job with run after the catch. He's hard to tackle and bring down in the open field, but he's someone that Baker Mayfield trusts. Mike Evans is someone that Baker Mayfield trusts. So you got to limit explosive plays. I was watching the game last week that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the explosive plays were massive for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their offense. So Atlanta has to limit those things. And I think offensively for Atlanta, you got to rush the football effectively. And I think one of the things that I really enjoyed last week about the win against the New Orleans Saints is that Atlanta has this dynamic running back room with Tyler Allgeier, who went over 1,000 yards in his rookie season, and Bijan Robinson. Don't be scared to use both of those guys on the football field at the same time, especially when you know Bijan is a threat in the pass game. I think that's something they have to get to. And last but not least, Kyle Pitts, he got to come off that milk carton, baby. It's time to get off that milk carton. We know Todd Bowles is going to blitz. You're going to have your one-on-one opportunities. But for Pitts, it's about being more assertive as a football player on the field and conviction and route running at the tight end position, because where he was drafted, he's supposed to be a safety net for Kyle Pitts and a guy that Kyle Pitts can go to any and every time. That has not been the case so far this season.
I want to continue this conversation about Kyle Pitts, because he was the fourth pick in the 2021 draft. And so you're talking about asserting himself as a route runner. This is now multiple seasons into his career. There's a series of clips floating around on social media for some of his routes in the last couple of games where he didn't look very interested in the route, didn't look fast or explosive, certainly created no separation. So it's got to be more than just asserting yourself out there, because there's something missing for this guy, both in this new offense and in the Arthur Smith offense, where it is not connecting at all.
Well, at some point, Chad, we got to start understanding, is it everyone else or is it Kyle Pitts? Because now this is going to be twice now with two different play callers where Kyle Pitts isn't looking like the guy that was drafted fourth overall in the draft by the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. At some point, you got to look in the mirror. You got to say to yourself, you know what? I got to be that dude. I played with a guy in Tony Gonzalez, and it was never a question when Tony was even walking around the facility that he was that guy. But it was that conviction at the top of routes and being able to use your size and your body to beat smaller defenders. It was if Matt Ryan put the football anywhere near him, Tony Gonzalez was coming down with that catch. And it was the same way when I was in Tennessee with Delanie Walker. So why should it be any different for Kyle Pitts, especially if you're drafted fourth overall and people are calling you the unicorn?
No doubt about that. Harry Douglas, a normal co-host of Freddie and Harry, joining me, Freddie Coleman and Chad Brown, in for him on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. If I throw this question at you, Brother Douglas, which team is the best landing spot for Davante Adams? What is your answer?
The best, it's going to be the New York Jets because of the relationship that he has with Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't mind seeing him with the Washington Commanders. What Jaden Daniels has been able to do with Terry McLaurin, that's going to be on the opposite side. They have two solid running backs. I really like the Commanders right now. The thing about Washington, you say to yourself, if they get Davante Adams, can they go win a Super Bowl? For me, that question, that's a question mark there. With the Jets, you say to yourself, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like motion. He doesn't like all these stack formations. He likes for his wide receivers to just line up and win one-on-one versus whoever they're playing. Well, Davante Adams has proven time and time again that he can be that guy. Davante Adams, as a wide receiver, has not diminished. He just doesn't have a quarterback out there in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. If he's paired back up with Aaron Rodgers, I see the New York Jets in a different light.
And what is that different light? Is that a Super Bowl light, or is that a deep playoff run light? Does Davante Adams move the needle enough for the Jets in this window where they have Aaron Rodgers, where they are legitimate Super Bowl contender? Because that's the only kind of lens where that move makes sense to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say legit, but, you know, you have to put them in that conversation, because now I think Davante Adams makes Garrett Wilson that much better because from a coverage standpoint. You have to worry about Davante Adams getting loose, and he's a guy that can win one-on-one, beat double teams, and just really be a guy that you can count on consistently. So I think it would allow, you know, Garrett Wilson to be able to be better as a wide receiver, too, and understand what Aaron Rodgers wants wholeheartedly.
Harry Douglas, host of Freddie and Harry with Freddie Coleman and Chad Brown on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. How do you fix the relationship that seems to be unfixable involving Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, Harry, and the Philadelphia Eagles?
Right now, honestly, I don't know if it is fixable. I don't know if it's fixable in Philadelphia. But I'll tell you this, it's both on the head coach and it's also on the quarterback. What I'm seeing from Jalen Hurts, number one, he is not trusting what his eyes is seeing him. He's not trusting what his eyes is what he's seeing from a defense and what they pose. And he's turning the football over extremely too much. Also, when it comes to Nick Sirianni, I don't think he's putting his players in the best positions to be successful. We talked about this on Get Up this morning. And you look at the Philadelphia Eagles team, who's gotten better over the last few years? And I don't even know if you can point to anyone. The person that's playing the best right now is Saquon Barkley, and he just arrived to the team.
Speaking of fixing things, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, they believe they fixed some things, finally getting their first win last week. But now they're playing a Baltimore Ravens team. It seems like they've really been able to fix things after losing their first two. Terry, check out what Joe Burrow had to say about playing the Ravens this week and how he and the Bengals have to play.
You got to be aggressive out the gate. You can't let the game come to you because your possessions are going to be so limited. I'm going to have to play damn near perfect. That's how I'm preparing, so it's an exciting opportunity. We know what our record is. You know, we know the opportunities we have going forward, but it's our first divisional opponent. We're 1-3. We need to get this one. And it's a big game for the Bengals.
All right, Brother Douglas, you call him Joey Grapefruits because his grapefruits are that big. What are your thoughts about what he had to say about playing perfect to find a way to make sure the Bengals don't drop the 1-4?
No lies detected. Joe Burrow hit it right on the head because when you're playing against the number one rushing team in the NFL, which is the Baltimore Ravens, and the number one rusher in the NFL, which is Derrick Henry, yes, your possessions are going to be limited. And you also have a guy in Baltimore named Lamar Jackson. But I like what I've seen from that defense versus the Buffalo Bills in the last 2 weeks. That defense has been able to step up as well in Baltimore. They have found their identity. The first 2 weeks, it was very questionable. And when John Harbaugh came out and said, we didn't bring Derrick Henry over here to give him 20-something plus carries. My grandma used to tell me growing up, lie you tell. A lot don't care who tells it. Well, Derrick Henry's going to be that featured person. And now you allow Lamar Jackson to play off what Derrick Henry does, in my opinion, because I think that's the best situation for the Baltimore Ravens. But Cincinnati can't stop the run. So every possession that Joe Burrow and that offense has, they're going to have to capitalize, score touchdowns. They can't set up a field goals because of the time of possession is probably going to be owned by the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
All right, Harry, the Kansas City Chiefs, they lost Rashee Rice, and it looks like he's not going to be back for the Monday night game against New Orleans. Without him in that offense, what does this offense look like? Because we got Travis Kelce finally emerging this last week, but missing one of their main targets for Patrick Mahomes. What does things look like in Kansas City for you on Monday night?
First, Chad, it's devastating because Rashee Rice, in my opinion, had become the go-to guy for Patrick Mahomes. And the word trust that we talk about so much, he trusts him wholeheartedly. So it's unfortunate that he had to go down. But I think, you know, the Chiefs right now are in a similar situation that they were in last season. Mm-hmm. Xavier Worthy is a guy that you're going to get the ball to every so often. You're not going to have a game where he's going to have 10 catches, right? You're going to design some plays for him, let him take the top off the defense. But it's also going to put more pressure now on Juju Smith-Schuster. Travis Kelce is going to have to get the football, and Patrick Mahomes is going to have to be that much better moving forward, so much so that he's been this season, because you're losing a valuable weapon in Rashee Rice. And we said it, man, the only thing that could derail the Kansas City Chiefs and stop them for three-peating was injuries. Well, you got Pacheco, you have Rashee Rice, you have other guys. Injuries are starting to pile up right now in Kansas City.
Well, you've had a lot of things going on this week because you're traveling all over the place. You're in Atlanta right now getting ready for a Matt Ryan's induction ceremony into the Falcons Ring of Honor. You're going to be a part of Countdown to College Game Day this Saturday as they go to Cal Berkeley for the first time as they host number 8 Miami. But as we center on Atlanta, what has it been for you to be a part of somebody getting that Ring of Honor? And you had a big part of Matt Ryan when he was able to be successful at playing quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons.
Freddie, it's an extreme honor to be able to, number one, be drafted in Atlanta the same year that Matt Ryan came in 2008. I was fortunate enough to host an evening with Matt Ryan on Monday night here in Atlanta. It was about 2 hours and 45 minutes, and just sharing stories with the people in the crowd and also former teammates about things that me and Matt Ryan went through growing up and touching on his life and his career. It was so much fun. It really was. And I can't wait to be able to see him tonight. I have an opportunity to also be a part of the pregame show for the Falcons tonight. But as soon as Matt Ryan is done going into the Atlanta Falcons Ring of Honor, I'm going to be racing to the airport because I have a 10:30 p.m. flight to head to California, San Francisco.
When do you get your pilot's license? That's what I want to know.
Ooh, Lord knows I need one.
Because he's also going to be doing Bills and Texans on ESPN Radio on Sunday. So, Harry Douglas, safe travels. We'll be doing Love Friday tomorrow, my brother. So, get some rest. You're going to need it because you got another big weekend ahead of you. And thanks for joining us, my man.
All right, thank y'all. Appreciate you always.
Thanks, Harry.
Harry Douglas, host of Freddie and Harry. Hit him on Twitter at HDouglas83, joining us on Freddie and Harry. Chad Brown in for him. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I go back to Sunday because, in my opinion, the NFL preseason is finally over. As we get into Week 5, I think we're going to find out a little bit more about teams, especially in certain games. We're going to find a lot about tonight when you got the Buccaneers taking on the Atlanta Falcons, the Bills taking on the Houston Texans. That game Harry Dulles will be doing at 1 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN Radio. Packers versus Rams, Giants versus Seahawks, Cowboys versus Steelers, Saints versus Chiefs. But that one game I got circled, Chad, is that Bengals-Ravens game. The Ravens seem they've been able to find themselves. The Bengals are still searching. So when I heard this from Joe Burrow this week about trying to play perfect or having to play perfect versus Baltimore.
You got to be aggressive out the gate. You can't let the game come to you because your possessions are going to be so limited. I'm going to have to play damn near perfect. That's how I'm preparing. So it's an exciting opportunity. We know what our record is. You know, we know the opportunities we have going forward, but it's our first divisional opponent. We're 1-3. We need to get this one. And it's a big game for the Bengals.
That was his way of sending a message to everybody, not just to the media, not just to the Burrow family, not just to him. That was letting his team know, like, look, we know we can beat that team. We've beaten that team before. The last thing we need is have this division get further and further away from us, starting the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. To me, Chad, that was not about Burrow message saying, look what I have to do. It's like, hey, we better do this or we're going to get run out of the building, like what happened to the Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills at the expense of the Ravens the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the Bengals have themselves a tremendous test coming up with the Bengals. And to Joe Burrow's point, he does have to play damn near perfect, I think, in order for them to get the win. But, yes, to your point, when you are talking to the media, sometimes you're just talking to the media. Sometimes you're talking to the fans. Sometimes you're talking to the guys in the locker room. And I think that was one of those things where Joe Burrow was addressing the guys in the locker room and getting them to understand they've got to find a way to raise the level of their game. And if everybody can do their job and, to use this quote, damn near perfect, it's the NFL. You can beat anybody if we execute to that level of a performance. So for this Bengals team, 1-3, if they were to lose this game, and they were to give up a really good fight, and it's a close game, and they take the Ravens all the way down to the end, I think the rest of the football world would notice, okay, the Bengals are going in the right direction. Is it going to be an uphill climb for them after a 1-4 start if they lose this game? It certainly would be. But they're moving in the right direction. They've got enough pieces in place where they can turn this thing around. And if they were to put up that kind of performance against a team like the Ravens, it shows that they still got some fight left in them.
Whatever the disconnect has been, if they're able to find a way to win this game at home, they could be setting themselves up for a serious, serious run in October and in November. After Baltimore, they're at the New York Giants, at the Cleveland Browns, home versus Philadelphia. We don't know what the Eagles are going to look like at the rate they're going. Home versus Las Vegas Raiders. I got a pretty good idea what they're going to look like before they face the Baltimore Ravens on November 7th. They could be setting themselves up, and I'm going to go back, Chad Brown, to my old DJ days. It could be a good Rocktober when it comes to Cincinnati Bengals. If they're able to – Rocktober, brought to you by the Cincinnati Bengals. If they're able to beat the Baltimore Ravens, it could be a serious, serious kind of October with all the games we mentioned happening in that month before they meet the Ravens again at the beginning of November.
Yeah, but again, I certainly if they win it, that sets up something great. But even if they lose, but they find a way to play well and they gain confidence in this locker room going, you know what? Look at those three plays that we missed. We could have beat what some people are looking at or talking about as the best team in football or one of the best top two or three teams in football. We were just three plays short. Let's clean up those plays. Let's keep chipping away at this thing. And we still got this Rocktober in front of us to go ahead and stack up some what appears to be some fairly easy wins coming up against some opponents who are struggling right now.
Is Joe Burrow on that Patrick Mahomes level where he still gets the benefit of the doubt no matter what?
Like, because we trust. Not according to Chris Canty of Unsportsmanlike.
Of course not. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But we know we trust Mahomes the most of any quarterback. Is Joe Burrow second on that list?
Go ahead, Chad. I'll let you start with this. That's a really good question, Shannon.
That's a really, really good question. Do we trust him? Ah, man, he was good last week. What, 230 yards, couple TDs? I think I still need to see more before I can put him second. I would probably put this version of Josh Allen with the reduced interceptions versus Josh Allen. The last year, I would probably put Josh Allen second right now.
Right.
But Joe Burrow's in that top five category for me right now.
The word I wouldn't use trust. I'm with you in terms of top five with that. the word I use is belief, because there's still something about him that I have a belief in. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I've always believed in Josh Allen, even when he had his mistake-prone situations. I said, that's an elite quarterback. He just needs to rein himself in, and we've seen that the last part of last season and the first four games this year. He ran into a Ravens defense that those bunch of guys were not having it on their home field. They were not going to lose that game. Same thing when it comes to Lamar Jackson. I had that kind of trust factor in him. But I think other than Patrick Mahomes, a guy I believe in more than anybody else is Joe Burrow, because I've seen him do that. He proved this belief to me when he said, that's where I want to play, Cincinnati. I'm not looking to get out of here. I'm not looking to leave when my contract is up. He didn't even consider that. He was like, we're going to make this work here. And within 2-3 years, he had that team in the Super Bowl. So maybe the word trust is not a bad word, but he's the guy I believe outside of Patrick Mahomes the most, because he has literally dragged that sack franchise to 4 points within a Super Bowl, when nobody thought that was ever going to happen. Ja'Marr Chase is not thinking about leaving if he doesn't get his money, if Joe Burrow's not there. T. Higgins even said, I want to work it out here because I like playing with that guy. If I'm forced to go somewhere, I will. So that's the word I would use, Chad, with Joe Burrow. Not trust is not a bad word. That word belief is, I'd rather use that word with him outside of Patrick Mahomes. He's Chad Brown in for Harry Douglas. Hit him on Twitter at ChadBrown94. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on Twitter at ColemanESPN. Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Harry. So a lot of people believe betting on Joe Burrow is a good thing. Betting on Patrick Mahomes is a great thing. What other things should you bet on starting NFL Week 5 tonight involving Tampa Bay and New Orleans and every game after that? Keep it here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod at checkout.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet off for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
He's Chad Brown in for Harry Douglas. Join me, Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us and Freddie and Harry, presented by Progressive Insurance on Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in and also that smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We love when she stops by each and every Thursday to put some more money in your pocket by the end of the weekend. She is Erin Dolan, ESPN Sports Betting Analyst. Also a great follow on Twitter at Erin K. Dolan. And we kick off week 5 in the NFL tonight. NFC South matchup, yep. The team that's won a division the last 2 years, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the team in the Atlanta Falcons that many people believe could take over that division. Hasn't worked out so far. Who do you like in tonight's matchup down in Atlanta?
So I'm leaning towards the Falcons just winning this game outright. I probably wouldn't mess around with the spread in this one. Currently, we're seeing 63% of the tickets as well as 70% of the money coming in on Tampa Bay. But we've seen this line move from +2.5 to +1.5 and back up. So clearly there's some sharp money coming in on the Falcons for tonight. And if you take a look at that total, it's only come up to 1 point to 43.5. But I feel like the Falcons, they've been in games, they're just not getting it done. We could probably make the case that they should be 4-0, even though they're only 2-2. Whereas for the Bucs, they've looked great and put up a bunch bunch of numbers against pretty mediocre defenses. And when you have just a divisional game and having a team that has the advantage of being at home, I lean more towards the Falcons being able to get it done. I mean, neither defense is really that great. It's just going to come down to, can Kirk Cousins actually get some touchdowns on the board? but I do want to go with the Falcons as a lean to winning it outright. And then in terms of some of the total plays, I lean towards the over as well. I do think we're going to see some points, but I do trust the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team total a little bit more. Right. That's at 20.5 right now on ESPN bet. So I would go over on that. They're ranked 9th in points per game, averaging 24. We saw that with wins against Washington, Detroit, Philadelphia. They put up 30 points in those games. So if this does end up that the Bucs are able to get the win, I think they'll have to get over 20.5 points. And it just feels a little bit low against a defense that's mediocre. So I do like the Bucs team total over 20.5, lean towards the Falcons winning as well as leaning over.
All right, Aaron, you just broke down some of your bets for tonight, but what is your favorite bet for tonight?
All right, so this is not to hype myself up, but on ESPN Bet, I'm 11.
Anyway.
I'm 11-1 on best bets.
Give yourself
so this
some
is going to be my favorite play for tonight. I really do love this play. It's okay. Baker Mayfield longest rush over 7.5 yards. Okay. So he's been able to hit over this in 3 games so far. That was against Washington, Detroit, as well as Philly. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 3 carries and 17 rushing yards per game. Now, the Falcons are 25th against the run. And if you look at some of these other quarterbacks that they've faced, I have a lot of time on my hands, clearly. Justin Fields' longest rush was 12. Jalen Hurts' longest rush was 23. Mahomes' longest rush was 15. Baker Mayfield should be able to get over 7.5 yards for his longest rush. And we are okay messing around with this type of prop, whereas sure. We know when we're looking at their rushing yards, sometimes a kneel down can ruin things that just happened in the Kansas City Chiefs game with Patrick Mahomes, and everyone was getting burnt on that one. So we're not messing around with that, but Baker Mayfield longest rush over 7.5 yards as the best bet. We're trying to get to 12-1.
Nothing wrong with that. 11-1 on best bets to start the season. Well done by Aaron Dolan, ESPN sports betting analyst, and Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. Chad Brown in for Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. I'm never a big, big proponent of, oh my goodness, with the MVP race ended today, so-and-so would be the MVP. I'd never do that, especially we're not even to week 5 of the NFL season. But what are the odds in terms of a guy like Sam Darnold, a potential MVP for the Minnesota Vikings, what he's been able to do at quarterback?
What's so crazy is, and for obvious reasons, he wasn't even listed on the board to begin the season. Then they posted him at 100-1 as soon as he came in and played the first game after J.J. McCarthy, of course, and everything like that happened. But he was 30-1 entering Sunday. Now he's down to 13-1. So he has the 5th shortest odds. So I know some people that were actually targeting him for obvious reasons after the first 2 weeks. And if you got it at that price, by all means, that's great. But now to grab it at 13-1, I don't think that's something you really should be betting. I mean, the Vikings have looked great. They're 4-0. They're also 4-0 against the spread, which is the best mark in the league. No one else is 4-0 right now. Wow. They're the first team in Super Bowl era to start 4-0, despite being no more than 1-point favorites in any of their first 4 games. So people were expecting really tight games, but they've been covering by a wide margin, and they've looked great. And Sam Darnold's obviously looked great as well, but so many things can happen in an MVP market, whether that's injuries, if you miss a few weeks. Sometimes these things come down to the absolute wire. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes still the MVP favorite. Chiefs still remain the Super Bowl favorites, which isn't surprising to quite literally anybody. Not sure how they keep skating by. I took the Chargers plus 7.5 last week, and that was a good bet for Dog of the Week, which, by the way, Dog of the Week on Sunday NFL Countdown, we're 23-1.
Good Lord.
23-1. You know how insane that is? 23-1. I know. You got to tune in. Dog of the Week.
But if you were 18-6, that would be insane. 23-1?
If we were 51%, I would say we're still profitable, you know?
Wow. Jesus.
But 23-1 is insane.
Oh, my God.
Quite impressive.
Fun segment on Sunday.
Yes.
Yes.
And we don't
miss it. We're going into week 5 here, and things are starting to establish themselves. First couple weeks, extension of the preseason teams, up and down, all that stuff. What are some trends that bettors should know heading into this time of the year?
Well, like I just mentioned, the Vikings, they're 4-0 against the number as well as straight up. But the worst teams against the number, that's going to be the Texans and the Dolphins. They have not covered a single game, which is really surprising for the Texans because we have such high expectations for C.J. Stroud. But obviously, these numbers are sometimes inflated based on the teams and the big names that they have.
Yeah.
The best under teams are going to be the Giants and Chargers. They're 4-0 to the under. So just some of these teams, obviously, figuring out the way they play. And the first couple of weeks are very difficult to bet, especially the first and second week. The second week's overreaction week. Then week 3, you think you know what's going on. Then we get through 4 weeks, and it's like, all right, the preseason, quote unquote, of the NFL. We get 1 month in,
right,
and adjustments made. But you can kind of tell how just close all these teams are, considering there's only 2 dogs more than 5 points right now that are listed for Sunday. Like, that's very telling to me that there's so many spreads that are so tight that a lot of these teams, you know, probably going to be jockeying for position at the end of the season, and it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top. So I think now you're kind of, we've got enough data under our belt to really deep dive into things. But yeah, I'm excited for this upcoming week.
Yeah, we always have enough data because it's always around us, whether it's betting trends, super dogs, whatever that is, especially when it comes to our teams. I know what I know about my Cowboys and Jets. What do you really know about your Philadelphia Eagles, Aaron?
I know that they are not good. Thank God we have a bye. Somebody made a joke. I was in Philly the last couple of days, and somebody made a joke. I was like, oh, I can't wait to watch the Eagles, like thinking they were going to make a jab. I'm like, well, they're on a bye. And they're like, ah, you're right.
Well, at least you win that.
Yeah, at least we're winning the weekend. You're right. I won't have to put on a jersey or anything. But yeah, no, it's not looking good for the Eagles. I don't have high expectations going forward. Hopefully they figure it out, but right. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. It looks like chemistry and just the coaching and just all around everything's not adding up. And then the injuries with A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith didn't help. But you can't obviously predict those types of things. But yeah, they better get that dog in them pretty quick because Philly's going to – we have the Phillies going on, which is good. Go
right.
Phils.
Absolutely.
And the Sixers are coming back, but – Yeah, they need to pick it up.
You look so anguished about this whole thing.
I know. It's normally crazy. This is radio.
Yeah, normally
you
get
to my face. Yeah,
normally you look mad. You look upset.
Because I've thrown the talent. There's only so much energy I can spend on the Eagles. I've given them enough. I gave them 4 weeks. Well, I'm still mad about the Falcons loss.
Apparently, certain things will stay with you as far as that goes. Like we mentioned, great follow on Twitter, Aaron K. Dolan. Hit her up anytime you want. She is Aaron Dolan, ESPN Sports Betting Ounce, always giving you the goods to make sure you have more money by the end of the weekend. Doing that here on Freddie and Harry. Aaron, always appreciate it, my friend. Have a good weekend. Hang
Thanks,
in there.
Thanks, guys.
Always great
Thanks,
to have Aaron. Her. Absolutely, always great to have her. By the way, you can hit us up on Twitter anytime you want at Coleman ESPN. That's my handle, Chad's handle, at ChadBrown94. We get back to the National Football League, like Aaron mentioned. Big game tonight in the NFC South involving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and also the Atlanta Falcons. Both of these organizations, for better or for worse, are symbiotic when it comes to the current NFL on and off the field. We'll explain that next. You keep it here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
He's Chad Brown in for Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us on Freddie and Harry on Sirius XM Channel 8, as well as tune in. Don't forget about us by telling your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. This way, you can get protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And I thought about this. We both thought about this. When it came to how quickly can a playoff-caliber NFL team be built if you have to start over, or if you're all in, like many people believe that could be the case with the New York Jets going after Devontae Adams, who wants out of Las Vegas, away from the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, Chris Canty, host of Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio from 6, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. He says, hey, Jets, don't do it.
No, they shouldn't be going all in for Devontae Adams, because when you trade for Devontae Adams, you got to pay Devontae Adams. He ain't going nowhere where he doesn't get a new deal with no guaranteed money in 2025 and 2026. Whoever trades for Devontae Adams, given what it's going to cost in compensating the other team, they are going to give Devontae a brand new contract. The New York Jets are not in a position to do that, knowing that they have to pay Garrett Wilson after this season too.
Chad, whether you're building from scratch or trying to keep on keeping on, if the quarterback is the most important position, not just in the NFL but in sports, the general manager may be the second most important person, because not only do you have to build a roster and a franchise, whether you're trying to build from scratch or keep what you're doing and get better than that, but you also got to placate an owner who wants results now and is not willing to wait. That may be the second most important position in sports. A man or woman who has to put a team together, have those pieces fit, either around your quarterback or find a quarterback to fit those pieces. That's how you can really go from a team building from scratch, and you may not be able to build it correctly if you do not have the right GM putting those pieces together.
Oh, the marriage between the head coach and the GM is critical. I mean, there's no secret why in Pittsburgh they've had continued success, and Mike Tomlin has yet to have a losing record in Pittsburgh, because the front office knows exactly what kind of players that Mike Tomlin wants. So they've been playing the same defense since I was there. my last season there was 2006, and then my last season there before that was 10 years before that in 1996. And we've been playing that same defense out there. So when they're looking for players to stock their team, they know exactly what they want. Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert and now Omar Khan are all on the same page. So there's that continuation of thought of knowing exactly who we're looking for. But if you start changing coaches all the time, mm-hmm. or you start changing GMs all the time, then those sides aren't married together. Well, you brought a new coach in, but you still got the same GM. Well, now that GM's got to go shop for a different cook who wants different types of groceries. Well, what do I do with the guys who are left over? Because they don't fit what you're doing. So this process, it does take time. And so the question, I guess, is being asked is, yeah, do we give these GMs, do we give these coaches enough time to fully implement their plan? Or does mm-hmm. the impatience of ownership, does the impatience of a fan base really end up being the detriment of some of these people who could probably have found success if we had given them a bigger opportunity?
That's why so many general managers will say, I want to bring in my own person. Even if the coach is there and he's having maybe a modicum of success, if you bring in a new general manager, he's going to want to bring in his own person. Because if that's not going to be the case, then you have what the New York Jets have right now, where Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh literally were put together to try to make this work. Then you throw Aaron Rodgers into that own mix, where he is no doubt the second most powerful player, a most powerful person in that organization. It's the Johnson family that owns the team, and then it's Aaron Rodgers. And everybody knows that. That's why we have these instances of Robert Saleh, who said on Sunday that the cadence that Aaron Rodgers puts out there is throwing guys off. And then 2 days later, he was talking about, hey, maybe I was wrong, and you know, we're going to fix it and we're going to do this. When you have that power structure that can't be compromised, or in the case of New York Jets, it is compromised, that's where time really gets shorter and shorter and shorter, Chad. Not just for players, not just for coaches, not just for general managers, but everybody, especially a star-crossed franchise like the New York Jets or another star-crossed franchise like the Las Vegas Raiders.
Once you start inviting those players upstairs, there's nothing good that comes from that. Nothing good comes from that. So while that player can come up, he can walk upstairs and we can have a conversation, he is not invited upstairs. And I know for some folks that strikes them wrong, but there has to be a separation. There has to be a plan put together by ownership, the GM, and the head coach. And once we start bringing that quarterback upstairs, because Russell Wilson, he wanted input on personnel. Aaron Rodgers wants input on personnel. Once we start bringing those guys upstairs, now this plan that we all worked together, that we all agreed upon, now we're making exceptions to the plan. And once you start making exceptions, then you got a friggin' whole team full of exceptions out there. So they've got to find a way to, you know, get wrestle the power back from Aaron Rodgers in what's going to be a difficult situation, because both those guys are relying upon Aaron Rodgers for their jobs.
Right.
Yet and still, they don't want to continue to bend to Aaron Rodgers or have Aaron Rodgers tell them what they are supposed to do. But as you said earlier, he is the second most powerful person in the organization behind the owner. So what does Joe Douglas do? What does Robert Saleh do? He goes out in press conferences and he tries to parse words and say, did I say cadence? Oh, I misspoke, dog. I was talking about something else.
It reminds me, by the way, Chad Brown in for Harry Douglas. Join me, Freddie Coleman and Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. It reminds me so much, let's say, that a publicist finds out about their client and they get accosted by reporters, and all of a sudden they go, did you realize your client was involved in that? Really? No comment. Did you realize that he was able to do those illegal things? You're kidding. No comment. That's who Robert Saleh is right now. He's that publicist that when he realizes something has been said by him, and it didn't smell right, it didn't fly right, you get this.
Aaron, talk over the cadence thing. And what is your relationship with Aaron now?
There is no cadence issue. There never was a cadence issue. It was created.
What is your relationship with Aaron now? How would you describe it?
Aaron and I are fantastic. Love the guy.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't like you, Coach Sal. He doesn't? No comment. Aaron Rodgers talks to the media and everybody else about you. Really? No comment. That's what Robert Saleh is, because he is in a no-win situation. If things fall apart, he's getting blamed. If things go right, he's getting no credit. They're going to say Aaron Rodgers, Joe Douglas, anybody else, ABR, anybody but Robert is going to be credited when it comes to the New York Jets. And I feel bad for him, but if you have not been able to have that power to say, look, we can't continue to do this, or we got to do this differently because this is not working, he knows he doesn't have that power, and that is a very dangerous way to be. Or a very dangerous position to be in if you're that guy, Robert Saleh, as head coach of the New York Aaron Rodgers in that city.
How can he say it was created? Who was it created by, Coach? It was you who created that, because you spoke about it post-game. We all heard what you talked about. Suddenly you guys got false start issues. You talk about the cadence, and now you're trying to walk it back. It just goes to show what the negative effect of this Aaron Rodgers time is. And, you know, we saw some of the weaselness of Aaron Rodgers with the, you know, choosing to say that he was immunized and thinking we were going to accept that as being vaccinated. So trying to parse words and trying to do all that. Can you imagine having to sit down and be in charge in some way of this person who's got such a weaselly attitude and tries to squirm his way out of things? That's just got to be incredibly difficult, because you want your football players and your team to be accountable. As a coach, I want to tell you what you did wrong, and I don't want to hear you have excuses or reasons or parse words with it. I want you to accept my coaching, and then accept my coaching as far as moving forward. You're not going to repeat those same mistakes. But if the coach has to show up and essentially apologize for his own words about the quarterback's cadence, now the quarterback is not going to change what he does. And so we've created this awful situation there with these two guys.
When is Robert Saleh going to be where Davante Adams is right now, Chad? Meaning, when is he going to be sick and tired of being sick and tired? Because Davante Adams, let it be known, nope, I've given this everything I could. I'm not doing this with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew as my quarterback. Nope, I want out. He got sick and tired of being sick and tired when it came to the Raiders. When is Robert Saleh going to do the same thing? That it may cost him his job, but you got to stop being a punching bag and a pinata and letting them do that to you, and you're the head coach of a football team. It's for the owner, GM, coach, and then players. That's not the case in New York with Robert Saleh. When is he going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired?
He's on the island, so he can be joined with all the friends and family that Aaron Rodgers has put on the island. Now Robert Saleh is going to be put on that island with folks he doesn't deal with.
NFL season, what do we really know? What island are you on? That's next.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry Podcast.